are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
It is said that living a faithless life typically means living without religion or spiritual beliefs, and it can manifest in several ways. People who live faithless lives may identify as atheists, agnostics, secular humanists, or simply as individuals who do not subscribe to any religion or spiritual beliefs. What a difficult. So we are joined on the line by Pastor Nali Shebo, who's going to help us unpack this one. Why do we have or reach certain instances in our life where we're like, hey, me, I don't believe anything. I don't do anything. Or why, in fact, such things have. My pastor, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you.
I should have greeted you in Chichewa so your energy can be, you know. Murubwanji. You see, I know, and I greet you in your language, Pastor. Are you okay, right, my Pastor?
I'm well, thank you. How are you doing?
I am good, my Pastor. I'm happy. I'm going to ask that before we start. Can you please pray for us?
Sure, let us pray. Gracious, loving Father, we ask, Lord, that as we delve into yet another subject on faith, you may be with us. Help us unpack it and help us to benefit from it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. So, Pastor, you know, we've defined what faith is. Faith is a substance. Yeah, I'm still on that one. But yeah, we've defined what faith is, right? We've gone through how the Bible actually defines it. We've gone through what we know as, you know, the heroes of faith or people we can learn from when it comes to faith. And today we're looking at a very interesting one, my Pastor, living faithless. So how do you define, my Pastor, a faithless life? And what are your perceptions of people who do not subscribe to a religion or spiritual belief, whatever it may be, not necessarily Christianity and not denominational ones, just in like those who do not have a religion or a spiritual belief?
Yeah, quite an interesting question there. I think today's lesson has a little bit of a shift. Mm-hmm. Because the past 2 days we have been talking about faith from the perspective of enduring faith, so to speak. That is to mean faith that helps us in our day-to-day activities, helps us face life's challenges. I want to have a little bit of a shift today and look at faith from the saving perspective.
Okay.
From the saving perspective, a faithless life, rather a faithful life, may be described as a life that does three things. A life that knows the truth. Romans 10 verse 17 tells us to say faith comes by hearing of the word of God. So a faithful life is a life that knows the truth, believes the truth, and obeys the truth. Above all, it's a life that has total surrender to Christ. So the opposite of it, which is a faithless life, is a life that doesn't obey the truth, a life that doesn't believe the truth, and a life that either doesn't know the truth or knows the truth but does not obey it and believe in the truth. Mm. And above all, a faithless life is a life that does not exercise total surrender in Christ Jesus. Mm. To Christ Jesus.
Okay. So when a person, my pastor, is living a faithless life, first and foremost, as a pastor, what do you do? Do you introduce them to this faith that you are part of, or you just silently pray for them?
Well, you of course you have to pray for them right from the start throughout your period that you'll be talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
You will get to talk to them and introduce to them, meet them at their level, and speak to them at the level in which they understand. So that you come, first of all, what you need to do is to win their confidence. So as you introduce Christ, you should be able to relate and speak to them at a certain level.
Okay. Also, Pastor, since we know we're living with, as much as we understand what living a faithless, English, Pastor, today, it's running away. faithless life, you know, and stuff like that. So in what ways does your own faith and mine guide us in building relationship with individuals who have different belief systems or worldviews? Because we know, so for example, we know that we have people who I don't know why they actually phrase this this belief like that, like African spirituality. I don't know why they did that, but we have people who believe in that. We have people who believe in the worship of ancestors. We have people who believe in consultations with other mediums, you know, and so forth and so on. And then we have, when it comes to, and we also have people from other denominations, but we're all professing the name of Jesus. So how then do we build relationships with them? Because what if they come now, Pastor, and they come with things to your house? Okay, let me not add to the question, because I've got things to add to the question. But how then do you build, you know, relationship with people who believe other things than what you believe in?
Yeah. One of the things that the Bible teaches us, particularly, especially as we Christians relate to those that do not believe in what we believe.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that the Bible teaches us, that is something that even Christ emphasized while he was here on earth, is the aspect of love.
Okay.
Where we need to genuinely love people.
Mm.
Even if they have different perspectives,
mm-hmm.
we should still be able to love them. Loving them does not really mean that we agree with what they do.
Okay.
Loving them is simply us responding to the fact that God created everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And God requires of us to love everyone. So even when we have different beliefs and ideologies, we'll still be able to have a relationship that is based on love, that is based on empathy, that is based on understanding, compassionate, irrespective of the beliefs that we have. Actually, this reminds me of something. When our relationships are motivated by love, then it will be very easy for us to sit and talk with people that share different beliefs with us.
Mm-hmm.
Of atheists at the beginning and all those things. So it won't really sour our relationships, whether somebody is Adventist or they are Catholic or they are Pentecostal or any other religion, because the basis, the foundation of our relationship will always be love before we get to beliefs and all those other things.
So, Pastor, you are saying that we must love, right? And then when we are, in fact, loving my pastor there, you find that people that like yesterday in one of our questions with the other pastor, we were speaking about, when is he coming back, you know, Jesus? Because he's big. He's been coming back, you know, and such things. You find that sometimes because we don't have answers to them, they become they create doubt in other people's thingies. So how then do you answer questions about people who are doubting your religion, who are doubting your faith, who are doubting everything? Because we have certain things that we can't necessarily answer.
Yeah. That's a really difficult one. That's a difficult one. But what I've seen in my own perspective, what I have seen to be helpful is to begin where you both agree.
Okay.
Begin from where you both agree. Sabbath Sunday argument, for example. We can begin somewhere where we agree. We agree on love. Okay, so let's begin from love and build from there. Christian versus atheist. We can agree somewhere. We can find a point of agreement, and that is the scientific part. Okay, where now even scientists are beginning to appreciate the fact that the intricacies of all the created things, the minute details, all these things actually speak of the creator. So we can actually begin from a point where we both agree as we move to a point where we don't, where we have different perspectives.
So how does one's faith, my pastor, influence their moral or ethical principles? And because we're speaking about faithless, right? How then, what then influences those without faith, their moral and ethical principles? Because I'm like, what you believing in? You know, because with us, we know the Bible is our foundation, right? So we know that we have to be humble. We have to be caring. We have to be X, Y, Z. We have to understand because we're learning that. So if we have no guide, what how are you living?
One of the things that we actually notice about faithless people is, it's actually something that you mentioned even at the beginning, is that a faithless life does not really mean the absence of values, of moral values or ethical values. One of the things that we can agree on is that whether one believes in God or not, killing another person, killing a human being, is not a good thing. It is viewed as a bad thing, whether you believe in God or you don't. So what we notice is that ethical values and morals exist even when one doesn't believe in God. But the beauty of believing in God is that those ethical values are strongly upheld. Okay, because love will now create, will now be the foundation for which all other morals and values are built upon.
Indeed. Hey, Pastor. So can you share some stories of examples of moments where your faith provided comfort, guidance, and inspiration in the Bible? This one I'm actually concentrating 100% concentrating. I want to hear your stories. I like things. And I'm taking notes. Pastor, please note the session is being recorded. So if you hear a repeat of your stories, please. But honestly, it's not though. Because you know why, Pastor Ne? Because sometimes when we're speaking with people who do not have faith, you know, they don't see the need, or they don't see any of these things. But then now when we hear, I'm always one to say, let us testify, man. Let us say all of these things. Then it makes one to have faith. So yes, we are ready, my pastor.
Do I have any stories or examples?
Yes.
I can't remember any exactly. But what I can say is that in every circumstance, for me, God has always stood out for me. There are moments where I have been in serious doubt. You know, where you wake up and you are questioning everything around you. I can't even remember the number of times that I've had to question my own calling. You know?
Ish, right?
Yeah. But in all these things, God has actually been more faithful than I have been to him.
Mm.
Because he has still come through for me, still encouraged me, still showed me that truly you are called and gone as far as giving evidence for me to believe. And actually, this is what we even see from the people in the Bible. People had doubts, even the devout children of God still experienced doubts one way or another. John the Baptist is imprisoned and he sends messengers saying, go and ask Christ Jesus whether he is the one or we should wait for another.
Mm-hmm.
At that very moment, the prophet of God exercises great doubt.
Mm.
And yet God in all these things still remains faithful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Last one, my pastor. I know I'm going to be naughty now. What made you doubt your faith?
You know, actually, one of the things that I've realized about doubt, for me, what causes doubt in God generally is because of us not having a clear perspective of who God is and how God works.
Yeah.
That is why after God shows himself to you, your doubts disappear. Because at that particular moment, God has given you a clearer perspective of who he is.
Mm.
So what really makes me doubt my calling at times and in the past is always my lack of understanding of who God truly is.
Mm-hmm.
Because from a human point of view, I would want him to show me where I am going right from the start.
Mm.
You know, I want to know how today is going to end.
Okay.
But God simply steps in and tells me to say, no, you need to trust me.
Mm.
You need to trust me. Yeah. Mm. Trust means that I need to submit to him and allow him to lead me.
Mm.
Yeah.
Hi, Pastor. Thank you. Hey, Yane. Today I nearly heard your whole life story on the radio, but thank you. Thank you, Pastor. And I think in your closing prayer, we may pray that those who do not have faith, they might have faith. And more specifically, our faith, because we know we have looked and we saw, we have tasted and we know that this one is the right one. So I'm going to ask Pastor that, can you please pray for us that we may also remain in our faith? As you're saying there, that, you know, there were times where you wanted to say, hi, yeah, God, you know, it happens to all of us where sometimes we're like, eh, shiane, feel like Job's wife there, but we hold on. So can you please pray for us?
Sure. Let us pray. Gracious, loving Father, we ask, dear Lord, that each one of us in our own individual lives, you may speak to us. Increase our knowledge, loving Father, of you, so that our faith may also be increased. Increase our understanding of you, broaden our understanding of you, so that each one of us may come to love you in our own way. Make us have an experience with you, so that in the moments of doubt we can hold on to that and believe that despite the insecurities of this life, the problems of this life, we may still know and believe that you are true.
Mm.
You are love. You are who you say you are. And will come through for us no matter the circumstance. We ask furthermore, Lord, for those our friends, our neighbors, our colleagues, our relatives who have not yet come to love you the way we do or don't believe in you at all, that you may speak to them. Appear to them, appear in their lives, and show them that you are true, that you truly exist, and want a loving relationship with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor, thank you so much for joining us and speaking to us about all things living faithless. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Thank you so much. Have a blessed day too.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.